you take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down to earth.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, July 13th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show, and I hope you have a mute button handy when you're listening to today's show. I certainly needed it earlier this morning. I had a compelling interview with Michael Brooks. You'll hear it in the second half hour of the show today. He's a Tennessee dad who's battling hepatitis C and other conditions, who had his kids taken away from him by Child Protective Services because they discovered that he was using medical marijuana to save his life. And if this doesn't move you, doesn't make you angry, then nothing else will. That's coming up in our What About the Children segment in the second half hour. But in the first half hour, we get to our Police for Reform segment today, and we're joined by Colorado defense attorney and former judge Lenny Freeling. He's active with Normal Legal Committee. He's also on the board of directors. And we discussed that recent case, the biggest pot bust conspiracy in Colorado since legalization, and the use of RICO charges in those cases. Also in drug war data mining, we'll take a look at a Montana attorney who's trying to get the state's 5 nanogram DUID limit declared unconstitutional. But first, we'll start things off with the cannabis headline news and some really good news for our nation's veterans and their access to medical cannabis. It's all coming up today on the Marijuana Agenda. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of the Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. For your $4.20 monthly donation, you'll receive over 20 hours of original first-hour podcasts plus other materials only available to paid subscribers. Or for just $9.99 a month, become a VIP patron. You'll get over 40 hours of podcasts for the complete program, including Toker Talk Radio, plus ad-free downloads of the segments heard on the Marijuana Agenda. Plus, VIPs get exclusive access to the video replay of the two-hour live stream show and downloads of the spreadsheets and charts I provide from my years of curating marijuana data sets. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at MJAgenda.com.
Did you know that in the U.S., black women have the highest HIV infection rates of all women? As a public health professional, I know we can do better. Every day, I work to close the gap in health inequities, but I'm just one person. We need you to join us in this important fight. This October, we're coming to Atlanta for the 2017 Drug Policy Alliance Reform Conference. Join us in the fight to end the drug war. Register now at reformconference.org.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I reject the idea that we're going to be better placed if we have more marijuana.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Shark Sessions from the Marijuana Show. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
This is your cannabis headline news. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net. The complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at marijuanamoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Thursday, July 13th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. The U.S. Senate Appropriations Committee adopted an amendment on Thursday to allow military veterans to obtain medical marijuana recommendations through the Department of Veterans Affairs. The bipartisan vote was 24-7, with all 15 committee Democrats supporting the measure. A majority of the committee's Republicans also supported the measure by a 9-7 margin. A similar measure was adopted by the panel last year by a vote of 20-10 and by the full House with a margin of 233-189, but a conference committee later stripped the provisions from the final bill funding the VA. The amendment also specifies that the VA may not, quote, interfere with the ability of a veteran to participate in a medical marijuana program or deny any services from the department to a veteran who is participating in such a program. Yesterday, the House Judiciary Committee advanced legislation that greatly expands the penalties for new drugs and gives Attorney General Sessions unilateral new powers to schedule drugs, according to a press release from the Drug Policy Alliance. Opponents warned that the legislation is a counterproductive measure to the opioid crisis that will exacerbate mass incarceration and enable Attorney General Sessions to ban hundreds of substances and prosecute people with long federal prison terms in violation of the new drug laws. The bill, known as the Stop the Importation and Trafficking of Synthetic Analogs Act of 2017, or CITSA, creates a new Schedule A in the Federal Controlled Substances Act for drug analogs and gives the Attorney General sweeping new powers to both temporarily and permanently ban any substance that is chemically similar to a drug that is already banned under federal law. Nevada dispensaries will now be able to restock shelves with cannabis products intended for sale to consumers outside its medical cannabis program. Nevada legalized cannabis for adult use earlier this month, but did so without any distributors, who are required as an intermediary between growers, processors, and retailers. None of them have been selected yet, but the voter initiative in November required the distribution licenses be granted only to alcohol distributors for the first 18 months. Until now, cannabis retailers could only sell inventory on hand as of June 30th, leaving the market in very short supply. But as of today, though, Reno-based Blackbird Logistics, which has been serving the medical market for 2 years, will serve the market after Nevada awarded its first distribution license. The company has an exclusive operating agreement with an alcohol distributor that allows it to distribute cannabis, and Blackbird also has an option to acquire the distributor in the future. Today, advocates for legalizing and regulating marijuana in New Hampshire sent a letter to Governor Chris Sununu asking him to veto House Bill 215, a bill that would create a study commission to consider marijuana legalization and regulation. The letter, which was signed by leading advocates, including the bill's prime sponsor, Representative Denny Cushing, notes that, quote, the commission envisioned by the final bill includes numerous vocal opponents, including the Association of Chiefs of Police and New Futures, but it does not include any known supporters, end quote. The House version of the bill included a representative of the American Civil Liberties Union of New Hampshire and a representative from the Marijuana Policy Project, which would have added some balance to the commission, but the Senate removed those prospective members from the bill. A poll conducted by the University of New Hampshire Survey Center in April and May of 2017 found that 68% of Granite Staters supported legalizing marijuana. Congressman Andy Harris, MD, is best known in marijuana reform circles as the man who blocked Washington, D.C. from establishing any commercial cannabis regulations. But in a profile in Rolling Stone entitled Why an Anti-Pot Lawmaker is Pushing for Marijuana Research, the four-term Republican from Maryland explains why he's teaming up with one of Congress's most ardent marijuana legalization supporters, Oregon Democrat Earl Blumenauer, to support legislation that would expand research into medical cannabis. Quote, while Harris opposes most cannabis use, even for most medicinal purposes, writes Matt Laszlo for Rolling Stone, he's a smart guy who studied anesthesiology at Johns Hopkins University and sees himself as a pragmatist. Harris recognizes the federal prohibition on all forms of marijuana has left the nation void of serious science on the plant, end quote. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Thursday, July 13th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning.
Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
This November, whether you see the words medical marijuana on your ballot or not, the issue is there. From the halls of Congress to your state capitol or city hall, politicians are already making decisions on medical marijuana policy on your behalf. This election, make sure they are representing you. Every vote is a vote for medical marijuana.
Visit votemedicalmarijuana.org today.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's not recreational. It can be destructive, and it consistently is destructive.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me for A Sensible Future from Students for Sensible Drug Policy every other Tuesday here on the Marijuana Agenda. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
This is Police for Reform, brought to you by Law Enforcement Action Partnership at LEAP.cc. LEAP is a group of law enforcement professionals advocating for criminal justice reforms in the areas of drug prohibition, mass incarceration, asset forfeiture, community policing, and more. LEAP provides qualified speakers across the world to speak with authority on criminal justice issues. We visit with one such speaker now in Police for Reform.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Police for Reform. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have a former judge and current district attorney in the state of Colorado, also very active with LEAP, as well as the Normal Legal Committee and the Normal Board of Directors. He wears many hats. It's Lenny Freeling joining us here on the show. Lenny, welcome back.
Russ, a pleasure. Not prosecuting, not a district attorney, private criminal defense with...
Right.
Mostly drug cases, you knew that.
Yes, of course, criminal defense. And I have to ask you, how was the Aspen shindig this year?
Every year, it just surpasses the previous year. The magical moments at Owl Farm are, well, magical moments. I don't know how else to say it.
I sadly had to miss it this year, and I was so disappointed because I was just eagerly awaiting Jerry Goldstein's opinion of Neil Gorsuch. So, doggone. Anyway, let's get to the story here with Police for Reform. On this segment, we like to talk about what's going on in law enforcement with respect to the war on drugs and even on a broader perspective. And one of the topics that came up recently with respect to post-legalization, well, Colorado and Washington, D.C. and Washington State and a lot of places, is when they look at the statistics of the people who are still being arrested or cited for what crimes remain for cannabis, they still remain disparately Black and Latino people. And I wanted you to address that from your view there in post-legalization Colorado and as a defense attorney.
As a defense attorney, I can tell you pretty confidently what I am seeing are very few small pot cases. People that were once getting hassled for an ounce or two or a joint are just not ending up in the system much. What I am seeing, though, is a real focus, because we're in this interim stage where we have more and more states legal, but plenty of states where it is illegal. So Colorado pot has both the reputation and the pricing, so that the real prosecution focus is on larger groups, bigger quantities, and pretty much stuff going out of state. And then secondarily, what I'm also seeing a lot of are people getting busted with too many plants, 50s, 70s, not shocking numbers, but more than they're allowed.
More than you're supposed to have.
More than you're supposed to have, and even that, I say that because it's what the prosecutions are based on, but the laws are somewhat contradictory. Our Constitution, state Constitution, permits larger plant counts than many municipalities, many counties, and some of the state statutes. So it's pretty confusing. I have people coming to me just asking straight out, can you tell me how much I can grow? And the answer tends to take an hour figuring out where they are in the state and what card they do or don't have and how large a doctor recommendation do they have. With the current situation, a caregiver, a primary caregiver, can have five patients, up to five people that they're growing pot for, and each of those five theoretically can have a 99 plant recommendation from a doctor, with the state issuing their medical card, their red cards, what they're called out here, and end up with one grower growing 500 plants, of which 250 can be flowering.
Wow.
As we know, that's a lot of pot for five people.
Yes, it is.
So I'm sure there are some people that are making various types of extracts and edibles and salves where larger quantities are essential. But it doesn't pass the straight face test to be growing 500 plants and 250 flowering plants unless you're a really bad gardener. And I've had bad gardener defenses. It's too much pot. It's worth too much because of the illegality in so many states. So we just had, over the last month or less, the largest post-legalization pot case yet. 74
yes.
people were indicted, state indictment, for racketeering, for, it's a 30 or 40 count indictment, including the Class 2 felony racketeering, including what we call DF-1s, which are drug felony 1s, and a conviction to a DF-1 carries a minimum mandatory 8-year prison sentence.
And, of course, our opponents jump on this recent news and say, see, legalization doesn't work. They're using the cover of legalization to grow and sell out of state. And how do you respond to that criticism?
Some people are doing that. Most people are not. People that were buying illegally historically are going to the store. People are electing to buy legally. For the most part, medical cards, from what I'm seeing, for the most part are issued to people with legitimate medical needs, and they're taking advantage of the approximately a third less cost if you buy on the medical side instead of the recreational side. We finally, and this was so embarrassing that we hadn't done it yet, added PTSD to the list of, quote, approved medical conditions. So PTSD sufferers can now legally get their red card and the advantage of the discount.
That's great news. That's great news. And as we move on in post-legalization Colorado, we have the threat still of other states, you know, recently it was Oklahoma and I think Nebraska, maybe Kansas, petitioning the Supreme Court. Now we have a new Supreme Court with Neil Gorsuch on the bench. What do you see as the future of that? And there was the case there, and I think this is Colorado, the RICO case, where the people that didn't like the smell were saying it was making their property values go down. Either one of those, if you want to tackle, that would be great.
The one that's kind of the sleeper time bomb is the private RICO situation.
Right, right.
The court just recently let that go forward, and potentially that is a disastrous problem, and people need to pay attention to it. And because legally it's fairly complex, it's easier to not pay attention to. It doesn't get the press that many of the other things are getting, and it, as I say, it's a time bomb. So the private RICO cases are a huge concern. That's racketeering again.
And how does that apply? For people that don't understand what RICO does, I mean, how does someone use RICO to make someone stop growing weed?
I believe what they are doing is seeking both financial relief, money damages, and injunctive relief, which they're entitled to under the RICO statute. RICO is designed for organized crime and has requirements, and over the years has been used to go after large criminal organizations.
And to be clear, this is a civil case, not a criminal case being brought. Is that correct?
Correct. People think of RICO as being criminal. The basic
racketeering
case. Exactly. Yeah. Where it was originally designed, I'm sure. There is provision for these private lawsuits. The neighbor claiming their property value has gone down, which is hard to claim in Colorado because property values are way up.
Yes.
As you mentioned, claiming odor issues and ending up with substantial leverage in court.
It's like triple damages, isn't it?
And yes. It's just disastrous when applied to our situation here.
So we'll keep an eye on that case for certain and get more detail on that as we continue throughout the show. I also want to make sure I have time for the Supreme Court because of that threat of, Jeff Sessions being the attorney general. Who knows what he's going to do? But these states that want to sue, saying that Colorado's legalization is infringing on their state's right to be prohibitionist. And what you think of the chances of that?
Ultimately, I think it's a press issue. I think it'll get fought, and personally, professionally, I simply can't imagine rolling back the clock. I can't see it happening. I can't see undoing medical. Undoing recreational is more of a threat, but even then, Pandora's box has been opened. The genie is out of the bottle. See, I avoided the mixed metaphor there.
Very well done.
Thank you. And I don't think it can be undone. If you read Sessions' statement, it's not quite as bad as being reported in the press. It's more in terms of priorities, and I think it's more paying lip service. I hate to be wrong. I hope I'm not wrong. I don't think I am, of course. And what I am seeing, I'm not seeing much in the way of federal prosecution. What I am seeing is federal assistance to state drug task forces in various guises, and we know at least at the moment, if it's not allowed to sunset, the feds are not supposed to be interfering, at least justice is not supposed to be interfering with regulated state medical programs that are vigorously enforced. What I've seen is Homeland Security getting involved. So what I'm not seeing the federal prosecutions, but I am seeing federal power, and this is not new. This is not just post-Sessions. This has been going on. And they're also using the threat of the federal prosecution. Work with us or we'll go after you state and federally, which they can do if they choose to. I'm not seeing it happen yet. So I see Sessions, that starting at the top with Trump, I can just see him behind closed doors saying, I don't care. Why are we even talking about this? It's good business, and I don't care. That's what I imagine Trump to be saying. I think Sessions is in a period, is in a position where he can't say nothing, so he says something. Whether anything will come of it, in my mind, every state that joins, even if it's with one of the mini medical programs that really doesn't address patient needs adequately, and failing to address patient needs adequately can happen in many, many ways, whether it's by limiting the conditions, limiting the outlets to two or three or six in very large states. But even so, when they look at the numbers, it still counts as a state that has passed medical. And I believe the last number I saw, I think, was 39 that we were able to count that had...
It's We're down to just Idaho, Kansas, Nebraska, and South Dakota that do not have something, at least even CBD, in their law.
Wow, that's great news. The more states that are on board, the more impossible, simply impossible, it becomes to dismantle it. Now, I'm saying that, and as I'm saying that and believing what I say, I do think back to alcohol prohibition, where it was a huge, flourishing industry that the feds did come in and attempt to shut down. And of course, we know that that not only didn't work, as prohibition never does, it was disastrous and just drove it underground. So with the preference being to not have it underground, to have it regulated, to have it taxed, I don't see us going backwards. I see small examples here and there that will get a lot of press, that'll allow the feds to say, see, we're doing something. And additionally, what I also think I'm seeing, for example, the 74-count indictment, what I'm seeing is when they are looking at a gray market, a smuggling operation, or something they're believing is a smuggling operation, they're going after it very, very aggressively. Part of that is, once again, you've heard me say this, gentlemen, we have to protect our phony baloney jobs.
Right, right.
Part of it may, and maybe I'm giving the state too much credit, but part of it allows the state to say to the feds, see, we're enforcing it rigorously, so you don't
Indeed.
Need to bother us.
A lot of show involved in a lot of these activities. I would agree with that as well. Lenny Freeling from Law Enforcement Action Partnership. Before we let you go, we remind folks that you can find your speaker in your area by going to policeforreform.com, or I'm sorry, leap.cc is another one you can use if you don't want to have to type so much. And Lenny, thanks for joining us again today and lending us your wisdom.
Russ, as always, thank you for having me. My pleasure.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Did you know that each day in the state of Georgia, more than 6 people are diagnosed with HIV? As a person providing life-saving services to those most at risk, I know HIV is preventable. We need more people in this fight, which is why I want you to join me this October in Atlanta for the 2017 Drug Policy Alliance Reform Conference. Join us in the fight to end the drug war. Register now at reformconference.org.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every Friday for the Reefer Rock Review with Herb Thrasher from 420radio.org. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in Drug War Data Mining, we turn to the Billings Gazette, where there's an interesting story about a Montana attorney who is fighting against the DUI standard that was set by the state and calling it arbitrary and unconstitutional. It's a public defender there in the state named Gregory Pascal, and he's saying that the amount of marijuana in someone's system that constitutes a DUI is arbitrary and not supported by science. Now, the public defender is arguing a case for vehicular homicide, a charge against vehicular homicide while under the influence against a young man named Kent Roderick Jensen, who's age 20. And in this case, he was charged after a crash in March of 2016. It killed a motorcyclist named Joshua Fry. Court documents say Jensen pulled out onto a frontage road without seeing the motorcycle and then caused the crash. Jensen's blood, according to toxicology reports, came up at 19 nanograms per milliliter of THC. The limit for Montana is 5 nanograms per milliliter. This is something they adopted, similar to what Washington State has. Now, Pascal has challenged this in court. He's challenging the constitutionality of it, saying this 5 nanogram per milliliter threshold has no scientific support. He actually says, quote, "Because of this lack of scientific support, the use of the 5 nanogram per milliliter level in the vehicular homicide statute is unconstitutional as a denial of substantive due process," end quote. Basically saying this guy can't fairly defend himself because he's being charged with driving with a vehicular homicide while under the influence, which, you know, exacerbates what sort of punishment, sort of penalty he might face. But he can't successfully defend himself using science that would show that he is not impaired, that at 19 nanograms, he could very well not be impaired. Now, there are numerous studies that have shown that there is no reliable impairment level that can be determined for THC in the blood. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration even says it's inadvisable to use the fact that someone has a certain level of metabolite in their urine or active THC in their blood to by itself be a determinant as to whether or not someone was impaired at the time. The defense attorney, Pascal, cites the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety. Now, keep in mind, AAA, the Automobile Association of America, is one of the leading opponents to marijuana legalization throughout the United States. They are actively fighting against marijuana legalization. So they're no normal. They're no Drug Policy Alliance putting this report out. Their report said there was concern for specific levels of THC being used to determine marijuana impairment. And we all know why. It's because someone who's a newbie or someone who's light of build is going to be more affected by the same amount of THC that someone like myself, a 240-pound man who smokes multiple times a day, is not going to touch me. I probably wake up at 19 nanograms per milliliter. And this is not just conjecture. The critic for the Westword paper, the former marijuana critic, William Breeze, famously took a marijuana test, a blood test, after sleeping a full night's sleep and going without marijuana, and came up at something like 15 nanograms or 13 nanograms, somewhere in that range. And that was after a full night's sleep and abstaining from marijuana use. The Montana authorities, on the other hand, disagree with Pascal, of course. The prosecution has said that the Montana Crime Lab set the 5 nanogram benchmark. They say the Montana Crime Lab says that can separate impaired and non-impaired drivers, as well as those who ingested marijuana recently from those who did so long ago. Montana Crime Lab is lying to the people of Montana and perjuring themselves in court if this is what they're putting into the record. Because no, you cannot determine whether someone ingested marijuana recently versus whether someone ingested marijuana a long time ago at the 5 nanogram limit. You cannot do it. That is not even close. If you were saying 500 nanograms of active THC in the blood, then maybe we could say, all right, that's got to be someone who recently did a 1 gram dab or something. But if you're saying 5 nanograms, people can show up at 5 nanograms active THC for 3 days after smoking. So that is no way saying that they are currently impaired. This report is in the Billings Gazette. We'll put the link up in the chat room if you'd like to follow up on that. And we'll keep our eyes on that case and see if we can get a precedent in some state to show that, hey, you know what? Maybe science is important. Maybe science matters.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the conservative agenda, minus the hypocrisy.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the UK Cannabis Chronicle from the UK Cannabis Social Clubs. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
For decades, "What about the children?" was a rallying cry for concerned parents fighting to keep marijuana away from their kids. Now, advances in medical cannabis technology have parents fighting to access marijuana to save their kids. In some cases, those parents who utilize medical cannabis have to then fight the state for their kids. Today, we're joined by another guest from Moms for Marijuana International as we ask, what about the children?
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of What About the Children, where we discuss the issues of parenting and marijuana. And we've got a guest joining us today to discuss his story. It's Michael Brooks. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Tell folks where you're living right now.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for this opportunity, of course. I live in the state of Tennessee, where cannabis is still considered quite illegal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that that's an important thing to underscore in today's story, is that you are deep in the prohibition land. And it's just
deep in the Bible Belt, and people are still demonizing the weed as badly as reefer madness. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm living in the dark ages of America.
What a shame. Okay, so tell our listeners your story. What is it that brings cannabis into your life?
Wow. Well, cannabis has been a part of my life. I just naturally, I just knew, you know, that it was helpful to me with certain problems that I had. I always suffered a lot from high anxiety and stress disorders. So early on, I just discovered that it was very beneficial. But years have went past. I'm 50 years old now, and just about 4 years ago, in the past, I have hepatitis C. I have end stage hepatitis C, and I had reached the terminal level. There was nothing they could do for me. Chemotherapy was out of the question. None of the pegintron, ribavirins, none of that stuff. Platelet count was around 8,000. It would have killed me. So I had no options, it appeared, except for to take a bunch of narcotics so I didn't have to feel the sting of death. And I just didn't want to accept that, because at the time I had a 1-year-old son, and I want to stick around. I want to watch my son grow. I want to guide my son to this world. I happened to stumble across the issue of cannabis oil on the internet. It was a link to the Phoenix Tears Foundation. So I reached out to them and started just submerging myself in information and recent discoveries of that time, which it's been 4 or 5 years ago. We learned so much on a daily basis. But then I was totally in the dark. I thought it sounded too good to be true. This weed's going to be my medicine. Great. Yeah. So we shot out to Colorado, and within even taking it sporadically, a lot of people are really, really firm about taking the 60 grams in 90 days. So we weren't fortunate enough to be able to do that. We took much more oil over a longer period of time, but both my wife and I both suffered from hepatitis C, and after, I'd say, around 7 to 8 months, the disease was totally undetectable. All internal organs were going back to normal functioning. I was on medicine for diabetes because my pancreas was failing. I was on medications for seizures because I had developed a seizure disorder. I had acquired hemophilia. Folks, I was dying. And it took nothing more than full extract cannabis oil to save this country boy's life.
Wow.
But it came at a very, very high cost, man.
So you're living, let's make sure we're set up. So you live in Tennessee, you're dealing with numerous conditions that are life-threatening. You head out to Colorado, you get some cannabis oil. It's a miraculous turnaround, and then you have to go back to Tennessee. So tell us the story from there and how this gets dark and how it affects your kids.
Oh, man, it was truly the greatest triumph of my lifetime that within 5 months turned into the worst tragedy I could have ever even imagined. Well, I was feeling well, and I couldn't even remember feeling so well in my entire adult life because I had carried this disease for around 25 years. So my entire adult life, I was affected by disease. I had no idea what other people took for granted, just their health, their vitality. I was in love with life, and God saw fit to, I became so well, at 48 years old, I became a father again.
We rented
a house to accommodate our growing and thriving family. And all came down with lead poisoning within a couple of months after the last doctor's synopsis. It said it was non-detectable. It appeared that I had beaten the disease completely and thought that I had at that moment. But because of the lead poisoning and being the area where we live, there's like a bank on every corner, a church on every corner, and that's about it. There's not a lot of resources in the area, but there's one resource called the Department of Children's Services. And the doctors estimate that my son lost a third of his cognitive abilities, and he simply needed more help than what was being provided by our insurance company. So I reached out to this Department of Children's Services, and they were actually working well with my oldest son. His name's Damon. I love you, boy. And they asked Mama and I to take a drug test. So Jamie and I had to submit to a drug test. They said it was protocol, and I tested with the highest THC content they had recorded in the state of Tennessee. Jamie with a short hers was about half. Mine was like 58.9 something. I don't even remember the exact number or what the ratio stood for. They were just drop jawed. We've never seen that much. What are you doing with pot that you get that much in you? And I laughed. I said, that was my medicine. It saved my life. I said, I'm so grateful that there's so much still left in my body because it's doing what it's been doing for human beings for tens of thousands of years. I said, it's still in my body to those degrees. It's wonderful. It's still working for me. I had an overall sense of well-being on the medicine. It wasn't like the other medications they were giving me that were toxic, addictive, and I had to sign off my rights on some of the experimental medications that if I died as a result of using those, my family couldn't sue the big pharmaceutical agencies. You know, my healing wasn't toxic, it wasn't addictive, and I rather enjoyed it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So the result of these drug tests, they show that you have an abnormally large amount of cannabis in your system. What do they do then?
they go into panic mode. They as soon as the results were back, I was given a phone call by the Department of Children's Services. They gave me 72 hours to be out of my own house because apparently I was some kind of big drug, into drugs lord or something. To have these amounts of THC in my body is simply impossible in their mind. I was totally beside myself. I said, you can't kick me out of my own house, out of my life, and drag me away from my children because I have Delta 9. I have THC in my body. You can't do that. She said, you'll see how serious I'll take you. You will soon see how serious I am over this matter. So it was scary. I was threatened. I was intimidated that I might lose my children. So I set about trying to find myself a place to stay in 3 days until we came to fuller understanding what had happened in my life. We weren't even given the 3 days. The very next day, we got a phone call, and they were demanding to know where the children were. They were being removed from the home on dependent neglect, saying that we were dependent upon an illicit substance, and we all know illicit substances cause us to be neglectful to our children. Sir, this was 2 years ago. This will be 2 years, June the 2nd.
Now, have the children been in the custody of the state during this time in foster, yes, or what's going on with the kids?
Foster care due to their young ages. Now the state is thinking it may be in the best interest of the children for them to stay where they are. Although I complied, we have both complied 100% and completely on this matter. It's simply a matter of Title IV e-funding gone mad. Now that's a federal act where all of the money that's provided to take children from homes where there are not imminent danger, these are the monies that get involved to make sure that they have the clout to do so. We fell victim to DCS. We fell victim to ignorance over cannabis as medicine in this state. And they've used the two together to legally kidnap our children.
Yeah. And of course, compliance in this case means passing the drug test, which means you're not able to use cannabis medicine. How has your condition been since this ordeal?
Within 5 months, the disease started returning in smaller amounts in the blood load and the viral load within my blood. The disease is now full-blown once again. I'm dealing with acute chronic pancreatitis. I'm taking medications to help regulate my blood sugars. About 2 months ago, I started having seizures and got back on the Depakote. It's just very progressive this time. The first time, they call it the silent killer, hepatitis C, because it takes so long to destroy your body. And your liver has no nerve endings. If you could feel what was happening inside your liver, it'd be excruciatingly painful, and you would get to the doctor. But this disease behaves in such a way that usually before you have physical manifestations of the disease, it's too late. So I know what to expect this time. So the fear factor is through the roof, having walked the gauntlet before. I know what to expect, but this time it's behaving differently. It's behaving much more quickly and aggressively. But I have had a couple of people, you know, from our community, those of us who go green, those of us who are aware that it's a wonderful gift from God above or heaven or the planet, however you want to see it. It's there for our enjoyment, our medicine. It's food, clothing, shelter, and medicine, baby. That's why it's here.
That's right.
But now, those who don't understand that are putting others in tyranny in lieu of money. I mean, everybody profits from it being illegal, man. They don't realize that, you know, Tennessee would survive the economic shift that it does cause to legalize. We'd survive it as well as the other 29 other states. Sure. But people are needlessly suffering and dying on a daily basis in this state. Children are in foster care just because of a plant.
And how old are your kids now?
Damon, my oldest, in August, he'll be 4 years old, and Elijah turned two a couple of months ago. They've been in foster care since 18 months and 7 months old.
Wow.
We were seeing them every 2 weeks for 2 hours every 2 weeks, and they actually stopped their visits about 3 months ago claiming that the children are very upset at the end of the visit, don't want to go home when they show out for days, so it must not be good for the children to see their parents. They want to come home.
Yeah.
Mother's showing out, but they use that against us in court. Of course, we're drug addicts, man. We've got reefer madness.
Man, this is just tragedy upon tragedy in this story. And Michael, I want to get this spread far and wide to as many outlets as I can. But if our listeners out there want to help out as well, can you give them some websites or contact information or ways they can help you out?
I'm sure I'm not the only Michael Brooks in Tennessee in Facebook, but I can be contacted through email, which is Michael Brooks, all lowercase letters, 1013@gmail.com. That's Michael Brooks 1013@gmail.com. Or if you don't mind, I don't mind sharing my phone number. Desperate times call for desperate measures. We've desperately been trying to find a lawyer that's willing to take this all the way to the Supreme Court. We're still in juvenile and circuit court on this matter, but we plan to hold all parties accountable because, as we've been told on this side of the law, not knowing is no excuse. What is it? Not knowing is ignorance is no excuse. That's right. Yeah. Just because they were ignorant that this was my medication gave them no right to throw me back into disease and cause me to lose 2 years of bonding with my sons and to brainwash them to where they now call me by my first name and strangers, mama and daddy. I would love nothing more than any help or direction I could get on this.
We will do everything we can for you, Michael Brooks. Thanks for joining us and telling this story. And we hope this never has to happen to anybody else.
Hey, man, that's why I'll share my story as much as I can. You know, each one reach one. You know, this is tomorrow's medicine day, folks. You know, it's just simply people have to change their point of view. To understand cannabis is to appreciate it. Those who don't understand it simply don't know what they're talking about, or they've been lulled to sleep by their government. It's time for us to think for ourselves and claim our nation back. What is rightfully ours, mind, body, and spirit, that's ours. It belongs to us, we the people.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
As a formerly incarcerated person, I know firsthand all the ways that we are disenfranchised when we are run through the system. Every day I work to help people regain their rights and dignity, but the fight is far from over. We need you to join us in this important fight. This October, we're coming to Atlanta for the 2017 Drug Policy Alliance Reform Conference. Join us in the fight to end the drug war. Register now at reformconference.org.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We've turned the corner on drug addiction in the United States. Drug addiction in the United States is under control.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for our Government at Work, the latest in cannabis reform at the local, state, federal, and international level. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
total war against public enemy public number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs. Use less
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
What in the name of unspeakable evil is going on with the Department of Children's Services in Tennessee? You just listened to the last story we played on the show and it didn't break your heart. I don't know what would. A man who is dying from hepatitis C, a man dying from chronic pancreatitis, goes to Colorado, discovers cannabis oil. It alleviates his condition. It drops his viral load. He's healthier than he's ever been in his life. And then because he takes his kids in for lead poisoning that they were subjected to, he's drug tested. And then his kids are taken from him by the Department of Children's Services because he's supposedly some sort of drug kingpin for having so much cannabis in his system. Can you not read the man's medical chart? Can you not see with your own damn eyes how a man who was the shining beacon of health 2 years ago has declined? I've seen the before and after pictures now. The hep C has once again ravaging his system. He's gaunt. He's gray. He's frail. He's dying. What kind of state, what kind of country that would dare to call itself a Christian nation would put this man and subject him to the choice of medical marijuana and his health or his kids by his deathbed? This is insane. And beyond whether or not marijuana is legal or not, beyond whether or not Tennessee has a medical cannabis law, how can these people who are charged with the health of the children, the well-being of the children, think they're better off losing their formative years with their parents, a chance to bond with them as they're healthy for who knows how short their life may be, and not take into account the good that cannabis has done that has saved their parents' lives? I've got plenty more to say about this. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You think you're sweet, you're planted, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking. You take a seat, you're planted, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking. Take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.